speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
And it's always a pleasure to greet you in this manner with the gospel of Christ. It's our pleasure then to have a part in the program, and certainly we're hopeful that you will listen to these broadcasts each afternoon at this same time, and we believe that you'll benefit greatly from them. In 1 Peter 1:22, Peter said, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as the grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass withereth and the flower falleth, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you." Here Peter speaks about the purifying of the hearts of men. Sin, of course, is this destructive agent that causes man to need purification. And therefore, he needs to be born again. Peter said the man is born again of water and of the Spirit. And of course, in John 3:5, that reference is found, where Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, "Master, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest, except God be with him." And of course, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto thee, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven." Now the word "see" here is interesting and important to us because it means he shall not experience the benefits of these things. So, in the verse 5 following this, when Nicodemus complained a man could not be born of a physical birth, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." Many people think this is two births, but this is really only one birth with two elements involved, water and Spirit. When you remove the figures that Jesus used here, as he did in Mark 16:15-16, he simply said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And so when we find the difference in these two, one to be saved, the other to be damned, those who believe not in Christ will be damned because of their sins, but those who believe and obey the gospel in baptism will be saved. Well, many people talk about today a born-again Christian. Have you heard that term? Born-again and Christian are both the same terms, because when one is born again, he is a Christian, and when he is a Christian, he is born again. There's much attention being given to the claim of a new spiritual birth, though, by some. They claim that they are saved, and then they're born again. And so they call themselves born-again Christians. Many prominent people in the United States claim to be born again. And this, of course, makes it different from anyone else in the world, because once they become Christians, then they're born again later. To make that claim has now become quite fashionable, it seems, from the ultimate of our nation to the very lowest of our nation. But we must not doubt the sincerity, and we do not, of many who wear that title proudly. God alone knows their hearts. But with the testimony of many of these would indicate that they know very little about the scriptural teaching on the new birth. You know, the expression naturally raises some important questions. Who is a born-again Christian? And when and how is one born again? Indeed, if a person is born again, he is a Christian. For one cannot be a child of God without being born again. Nicodemus, of course, knew only the Jewish birth, which indeed was a physical birth. And after 8 days, the males were circumcised, and then they had to be taught later what made them a part of the Jewish nation. But now men are not to be born as babies into the kingdom of heaven, but rather, he says, except a man be born again. Well, Jesus clearly stated the necessity of one's being born again, didn't he? To be born of water and of the Spirit, we all agree on that. And the kingdom of God can only be entered by a new birth, according to John 3:3-5. Well, since the church of our Lord is the kingdom of God, it follows that the same process that puts one into the church, the one body, also puts him into the kingdom. Now remember, Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, Whatsoever thou shalt loose upon earth shall be loosed in heaven. So the church and the kingdom, in this reference by our Lord, is indeed synonymous with each other. 1 Corinthians 12:13, he also talks about the church, the body, when he says, "For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body." And Colossians 1:18 says he is the head of the body, the church. And so we know that when one enters the kingdom, he enters the one body. When he enters the one body in the kingdom, he enters the church. So hence, to enter the church and become a Christian is equal to being born again or becoming a citizen of the kingdom. The church, you see, in the Bible are the saved. In other words, all the saved are in the church, and the church is made up of all the saved. And none but the saved have entered into the church. In Acts 2:47, he said they were praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. In Ephesians 5:23, he said, "Christ is the head of the church, the husband is the head of his wife, but Christ is also the Savior of the body." So the new birth is a very interesting and important study for us, isn't it? It's been unnecessarily shrouded in mystery. These people seem to want to make the new birth a mysterious thing. And sometimes they even want to make it a miraculous thing. But the Bible does not say so, nor does it make it a miraculous, mysterious happening that comes to man. Now, to understand this subject, we must recognize that in John 3, our Lord was using a figure of speech in explaining the nature of the various aspects of the kingdom, the church, which he had come to establish. He oftentimes used, during his personal ministry, many figures of speech. For example, he taught that the kingdom is like a sower, or like leaven, or like a mustard seed. Now, only confusion results if all these statements be taken literally, of course. But each one of these figures suggests at least one aspect of the kingdom. Now, thus in John 3, Jesus explained to Nicodemus, my friends, how an individual would gain entrance into the kingdom of God. That's what this is about, how a man can enter the kingdom. He said, except a man be born again, he can't enter the kingdom. Except he be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. So, by way of explanation, the Lord used the figure of a birth. He said, you must be born again. That is, the process of getting into the kingdom then, soon to be established, is in certain aspects like a birth. One becomes a new being after birth. Life begins after birth. It is a spiritual birth then into a spiritual kingdom. There is a change, of course, in men's hearts produced by the power of the gospel. Other figures and terms are used in the Bible to explain this same process, such as the word conversion. That means to change, doesn't it? If you convert a car motor into a race motor, then you are changing that motor. So it is that men change when they come into Christ. Then the word redemption is used, and that, of course, explains this same process. Redemption comes when men obey the gospel. Regeneration means to be generated again. And to be born again is the same thing. And then salvation. Salvation and redemption and pardon are all words that refer to the result of obedience to the gospel. Now, it's the same as being in Christ. You know, a Christian is one who is in Christ. And Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Well, if he is a new creature, he's been born again, because that's where new life begins. And if he's been born again of water and of the Spirit, he is a Christian. So all Christians have been born again, and all who have been born again are Christians. Now, if we can learn from the Bible how and when a man gets into Christ, then we'll know exactly what constitutes the new birth that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, since they are one and the same thing. Well, how does one get into Christ or be born again? I suggest to you, my friends, that the process involves five stages or steps. The new birth is not for an instantaneous occurrence. It is not something the Spirit does in forcing us into the kingdom. No, we're saved by grace. No birth is instantaneous, is it? No, the new birth is a process. And one step logically follows another, as the natural birth does in its working also. So the first step in the process of being born again or anew is that of hearing or reading the gospel of Christ. When men hear about the gospel of Christ, then they may hear without believing, but they cannot believe without hearing. In other words, there are those who hear, but they don't believe. They refuse and reject the message. But my friends, we cannot believe without hearing. The second step is that of believing. One must believe in God and in Christ as the Son of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. In John 20:30-31, He said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the sight of His disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that ye may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life through His name. So then faith, Paul says in Romans 10:17, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now God gets by the Word. He begets us into Christ, brings us into Christ by the Word of God. That's His instrument of power. Because He says in James 1:18, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. So the planting of the seed, the begetting, is the first step in this birth process. And likewise, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit, who gave us the Word through inspired men, of course, the Holy Spirit begets. But of course, He does it through the Word, and the new creature is made because of the power of the seed of the Word of God. Peter also wrote to some Christians and said they had been born again, or begotten again, as the American Standard Version says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the Word, he said, which by the gospel was preached unto you, 1 Peter 1:23-25. So Jesus said in Luke 8:11, the seed is the Word of God. Doesn't that make it simple? The Corinthians likewise were begotten through the Word, as preached by Paul, for he wrote and said in 1 Corinthians 4:15, though you have many instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Christ also said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So they are the source of spiritual life, John 6:63. So many other verses could be compared on this. But here we find the believer is begotten, are born of God by the Word of God, born of the Spirit through the Word. Now when the Word is preached and believed, the next step that logically follows is repentance. One cannot repent toward God until he believes in Him. According to Paul, two motives cause one to repent. First of all, 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow, he said, worketh repentance. Number two, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, Romans 2:4. Jesus told His hearers that if they did not repent, they would perish, Luke 13:3-5. So Paul told the Athenians that God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30-31.